You can imagine the book any way you want with pictures and writing in various colors. Strive to make the printing look clear in your mind's eye, so you can read the pages. Of course, the visualized book has nothing to do with OBs. This exercise is merely to help you learn to focus your mind down to a single thread. After holding this visualization for a while, you may be suddenly zapped into a state of intense awareness. Then the vibrations may sweep over you, separating you from your body. Chapter 20. The Fantasy Trap. In my attempts to explore the out-of-body state, I've discovered a psychological trap which can stop or delay an out-of-body experience. I call it the fantasy trap, and it's caused by daydreaming in the out-of-body experience state. I can explain it best by giving an example from my journals. The 29th of November 1981 Sunday, out-of-body experience, number 58. My consciousness was starting to get dim, so I wrestled with it for a while, and took hold of a clean, clear consciousness. I thought to myself how strange it was that my projection was lasting so long. I wanted to get away so strongly that I started to use my mind to pretend to go to places. In essence, I started to fantasize. It was very much like the normal dream state. In the first fantasy, I walked out into the living room. JP, California, Mom, and Dad were there, talking. I walked out and sat down. I said something like, "You can see me." Then they said, "Of course we can see you." Then I thought, "This can't be right, I'm projecting." Just then I came out of it and came to realize I had been fantasizing. I was still stuck to my body in the same position. I tried again to use my mind to get away and slipped into another fantasy. In this fantasy, I walked up to my bedroom door, opened it and went through. I walked to the nearest window and tried to walk through it. But it seemed very solid. So I very quickly went to the back door, ignoring everything else. I opened the door and walked outside. I went to the nearest clearing and jumped up into the air in a Superman pose. Then I fell flat on my face. It seemed so very physical that I began to doubt I was projecting. I thought, well, now I've made a complete fool of myself. I must be physical. I started walking toward the house again, but I never got there. It was then I came to realize that I had been fantasizing again. I was dumbfounded by my own wishful thinking fantasy. Then I was fully conscious and compared the fantasies to my awakened state. I thought, well, that use of my mind will only lead me to self-deception. I should stick to getting away using my astral body. So I tried to pry my astral body free, and managed to get unstuck for a while. I crawled over to my bedroom window and tried to press through it. I couldn't press through it, it seemed solid. Just then I blacked out, and woke up in my physical body. I looked at the time and it was 10:20 a.m. My experience must have lasted 15 or 20 minutes. The fantasy trap can be quite persistent and annoying, as you can see from the following example. The 16th of April 1983 Saturday, out of body experience, number 93. One quickly discovered that I was now stuck to the physical body, and I struggled to get free of it. I struggled for what seemed to be 10 or 15 minutes, using only my mind to try to free myself. After that I started thinking of other things and, because I was very tired, I eventually lapsed into a daydream, which led me into a state of hypnagogic imagery again. I was now semi-conscious, at some level of consciousness, I was still aware of my out-of-body experience condition. It was only a minute or two before I caught myself and re-established full consciousness. Once again I tried to unstick myself from the body. I tried several things. I tried to pull myself up to the ceiling, and tried to send my consciousness to the ceiling by imagining the point of view of looking down at my body. I got a brief clairvoyant image of my body down on the bed, but I didn't actually travel up there. I pondered the image for a while, my body looked rather beat. I wanted to float up and get a real look at it from my actual astral body's point of view. I tried for a while longer to get free, but once again I lapsed into semi-consciousness. After a long time of dreamlike short scenes, I finally snapped out of it again, and I was still out of my body but stuck to it. I thought, I'm really out of my body. Then I said, wow. I'm really projecting. I'm even speaking aloud while out of my body. Then the humor of what I just said, and the fact that I was talking to myself, caught up with me and I chuckled aloud. I laughed a while longer, then set out to free myself again. This time I was sitting up, but was still stuck to the body by my lower half. I tried desperately to float myself up to the ceiling, but couldn't. Again, I started thinking hard about how to get free, but fell into semi-consciousness again. After several short scenes, I caught myself yet again. I was still out of my body, and this time when I woke out of it, I spent a few minutes comparing the two states of mind, the semi-conscious, fantasy state and the pure waking out of body state where I had full awareness of everything. I thought about the differences for a while, and I finally resolved not to fall prey again to that delusive state of semi-conscious out of body experience mind. But after a few minutes, I fell back into it anyway. I awoke again, still out of my body and was surprised the experience was lasting so long. It seemed like at least an hour since the initial jump out of my body. I also noted how easy it was for me to fall into that semi-conscious state, although I had made a firm resolution not to. So I perked up my consciousness, like I normally do to keep myself from sleeping, for example, while driving. What should I do now, I thought, and I thought about it for several minutes, and finally fell prey to semi-consciousness yet again. This time I did not catch myself, but instead allowed my subconscious to take complete control. I entered the physical body while still semi-conscious and I started to dream. I woke up in my physical body when the telephone rang and it startled me considerably. I took great notice of another phenomena when I was first out of my body, and that was my heartbeat. Throughout the experience of leaving the body, I paid special attention to my physical heartbeat. Just before I left the body, my heartbeat had slowed down considerably. It remained very slow until the vibrations hit me. With the coming of the vibrations and the trauma of leaving the body, my heartbeat sped up to a very rapid pace. It was as if I had just received a terrible fright ache and my heart was beating wildly from a fight or flight response. Once I was out of my body, I listened very carefully for my heartbeat. Although it had slowed down again, it was still much faster than my normal waking heart rate. After that, I didn't notice my heart rate, I was totally oblivious of my body. Most of the out-of-body experience books say that you can travel in the blink of an eye, just by thinking about the person or place you want to visit. Therefore, I would think about a place I wanted to visit, and I would visualize that place, and imagine I was there. I learned this form of idle imagination can easily turn into an unproductive out-of-body experience daydream. Instead of being transported, the visualization takes on a life of its own and my consciousness slips into a dream fantasy state. The fantasy is entirely subjective, as far as I can tell, and can be as wild as any ordinary dream. But once the fantasy is over and my consciousness returns to normal, I know I've been dreaming. When I return to full consciousness, I may still be out of my body. Waking up out of body and comparing the former dream to the now out of body experience state, convinces me that the out of body experience was real objective, and that the fantasy was not real, subjective. If you fall prey to the fantasy trap, there are certain clues that you are no longer in the proper state. Fantasy objects, such as doors and windows, might seem solid. Fantasy people might see you, and your fantasy body might not be able to fly. If you wake up in the body from a dream fantasy, you might be left with a sense of was that just a dream? I usually say something like, this is real, during OBs so that I'll have a conscious point of reference. Of course, I only say that after I examine my state of consciousness and detect that I am fully aware during the experience. That way, I leave no doubts that I was conscious at the time, and not involved in a dream fantasy. Exercise 20, breathing. Many people claim that a key factor in inducing out-of-body experiences is breathing properly. Famous out-of-body experience researcher Robert Crookwell devoted a book to the subject, called Psychic Breathing. Breathing exercises have many benefits. Deep breathing will help you to relax your body for the out-of-body experience. Breathing exercises, if done correctly, can bring you energy that may prolong their experience. Also, it can improve your ability to focus. I recommend doing breathing exercises before you try to induce an out-of-body experience, and not during the induction. Here are some pointers for your breathing exercises. Babies breathe naturally because they haven't learned our bad habits. If you've ever watched a baby breathe, you may notice their bellies rise and fall, but their chests don't. They breathe using their abdomen, not by forcing their lungs to rise and fall. Try to do the same, breathe from your abdomen, not from your lungs. During your breathing exercise, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. As you inhale, visualize that your lungs are being filled with white light. As you exhale, visualize that all your fears, worries, problems and health problems are flowing out of your body. Some people believe that visualizing a flow of energy can activate your chakras, energy centers, which can help you achieve obese. In some forms of Taoist meditation, people are taught to visualize a stream of energy flowing in a circle that starts near the navel, travels down to the groin, up the spine, over the head, down the chest and back to the navel. Kundalini yoga teaches a similar thing, but the energy doesn't flow in a circle, it flows out through the top of the head. I don't recommend the latter method because some Taoists claim that it's dangerous to push the energy out your head. When you try to induce an out-of-body experience, just relax and let your breathing become normal again. Don't try to breathe differently in any way. It may be helpful, however, to quietly listen to the sound of your own breath. During the out-of-body experience, it may suddenly seem as if you have stopped breathing. If this happens, don't be alarmed. Your body is still breathing, but you have lost awareness of the body. Chapter 21, People and Animals. People often ask me, "Do you ever meet anyone while you're out of your body?" Yes, I have, but not often. Maybe 10% of my obeys have had interaction with other people. There are two categories of people you are likely to meet during an out-of-body experience, physical and non-physical. A physical person is inside their physical body during your out-of-body experience. A non-physical person can be someone who is also having an out-of-body experience, or a person who is without a physical body dead. When you meet someone on the astral plane, it's easy to tell if they are physical or non-physical. The physical people usually seem preoccupied with trivialities. If you meet up with a physical person, they will usually be busily preoccupied with reading, doing dishes or another physical activity. They don't seem to notice you. You can speak with them, but usually they won't look at you while they speak, although sometimes it may seem as if they look at you. Physical people are always affected by gravity. Also, physical people usually have irregular or discolored auras. On the other hand, non-physical people are not preoccupied. They usually notice you, and look at you when they are talking. They often wear out-of-place clothes. And they can be found perched in midair or just about anywhere. Quite often in my experience, I've been able to hear or feel the presence of discarnates, but haven't been able to see them. Also, their auras are mostly clear, regularly shaped and evenly colored. There may also be cases where non-physical people don't seem to see you. A good example of this is out-of-body experience number 116, mentioned in chapter 16, where I saw a group of people in my room, dressed in 1950s style clothes. In these cases, I'm not sure if I am seeing spirits from a different wavelength or some sort of psychic after image. Physical people, in Robert Munro's first book, he believed that when we are speaking to a physical person, we are talking with their subconscious minds. He described elaborate conversations with people while out of the body. But when he went to verify the experience, nobody remembered the conversations. His theory seems to fit perfectly with my experiences. Talking to a physical person is strained, as if they are too preoccupied to talk with you. Or perhaps their conscious minds feel uneasy having their subconscious talking with a spirit. It seems as if physical people are so focused on their daily lives that they feel uncomfortable turning any portion of their consciousness away from that focus. For example, during out-of-body experience number 21 mentioned in chapter 18, when I tried to rouse my mom from sleep, she just seemed to ignore me. Here are a few more examples from my journals, The 5th of February 1981 Saturday, out of body experience, number 39. One walked through the living room of JP's apartment and entered JP and California's bedroom. Both JP and California were in bed. California was laying down with her eyes closed. JP was sitting up in bed with some reading material. I jumped up and down and waved my hands to try to get JP's attention. He looked up at me. Then he nudged California and she stirred. He pointed at me and said, "Look, I think there's something there." She looked, but didn't say anything. I didn't want them to be afraid of me, so I said, "It's me, Bob. I'm projecting." JP then said, "It's probably Bob projecting," as though he didn't hear me. He went back to reading. I said, "How can I be sure I'm going to remember this? What if I forget?" "I've got to remember," JP said. "Don't worry, we'll remember for you." I said, "How can I be sure you will remember?" He said, "We're awake. We should remember." I said, "Okay, but I may still forget." He said, "Don't worry about it, you'll remember." When I asked JP and California about this incident later that day, they didn't remember anything. JP was reading at the time. California was awake but doing various things around the apartment. Several times, she reclined on the bed to relax for a few minutes. Here's another example, the 30th of July 1981 Thursday, out of body experience, number 44. "Well, I turned around and saw my father sitting in a kitchen chair with a sad expression on his face. I didn't want to speak, but I tried to get his attention by waving my hands in the place he seemed to be staring. I was about 6 or 7 feet away from him. He finally looked up and said something like, 'Oh, hello.' I said, 'Hi. Look, I'm projecting.' With that, I decided to continue on, not wanting to waste any projecting time, and Dad didn't seem interested. Non-physical people." The experience quoted above happened when my father was alive. The following experience happened after his death. The 20th of December 1981 Sunday, out of body experience, number 60. L twisted and reached for the window. I tried to pull myself toward it with my mind. My consciousness was dimmed again, but this time I thought I saw a small boy of 12 or so years old, watching me from the northeast upper corner of my bedroom, by my window. I felt 2 or 3 elder people that were on the other side of my bedroom wall. The boy said something to me and then he talked with the older people for a while. I don't remember what was said. The boy had dark brown hair, sparkling eyes, and a grin that seemed to indicate that he was pleased and adventurous because I was out of my body. The older people were standing up. One was male, one female, and I didn't see the third well. These older people were about 35 to 40 years old, in appearance, and were more serious than the boy. I only became aware of these older people when they spoke to the boy and he answered. Just as I lost consciousness, I saw the boy slide down what appeared to be a ladder. In this out-of-body experience, there seemed to be several people watching me and speculating about me. They seemed to know me, as if they were my spirit guides, but I didn't consciously know any of them. The grinning boy seemed as if he were pleased with me. He acted lively and mischievous, with his big grin and sparkling eyes. However, none of them seemed to want to communicate with me. It was like they were scientists during an experiment, and I was the subject. Animals. Some animals have more powerful senses than people. Dogs and cats can often see flying insects that our eyes miss unless we look closely. Animals also seem to be naturally psychic. I've talked to many people who have said their pets exhibited unusual behavior, such as staring off into space or circling their heads as if they were seeing spirits. Those people have looked for insects and other possible normal explanations for such behavior, without success. My family never had a pet by the time I was experiencing OBs, but JP had a cat named Zach. During one out-of-body experience, I encountered Zach in JP's apartment. It was my only encounter with an animal during an out-of-body experience. The 21st of October 1983 Friday, out-of-body experience, number 98. This happened on the 18th of October 1983. I've only had a chance to write it down now. I was having strange dreams, and I became semi-conscious. Then I noticed I was weightless, and that realization brought me to a fuller consciousness. I woke up. I was in JP's living room and I saw JP's cat Zach, and he seemed to see me. I decided as long as I was a spirit, and I was near Zach, I should try to Friday-ekten him to prove to myself that he saw me. So I stood up tall, raised my arms, and started to run, reaching towards Zach. That cat ran very quickly away. Exercise 21, a ship's bow. This is similar to the theater chair method. Relax completely. As vividly as you can, imagine you are standing on the bow, front, of a ship in the middle of the ocean. Imagine the water is completely calm and you are looking out over the water. You are completely at peace. Slowly, waves start to kick up and the boat starts to rock up and down. As the boat rocks up, feel yourself lift up. As the boat rocks down, feel yourself gently set down again. Gradually, make each wave bigger until the waves are 10 feet high. With each wave, you rise and fall rhythmically. As you fall with each new wave, try to feel that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach, as if you are really there. Again, this can cool the vibrations and pull you away from your body. Chapter 22, Out of Body Reality. Many books about out-of-body experiences say that during an out-of-body experience, our thoughts produce instant reality. Well, maybe not instantly. Sometimes it seems as if our subconscious thoughts are more powerful than our conscious thoughts. Our beliefs, expectations and fears also play a large part in what we experience while out of our bodies. For instance, why do you even have an astral body? While you are out of your body, why should you need a body at all? Why do you need astral hands? If you try to pick something up, your hands will pass right through the object. Why do you need astral eyes? With mind sensing, you can sense everything around you without even using your eyes. Why do you need astral legs if you can just as easily float or fly wherever you want? The answer is, you don't need an astral body. We have astral bodies because we are so accustomed to operating with a body. It's part of our self-image. We believe in our bodies so strongly that we create astral bodies for ourselves to use during an out-of-body experience. Perhaps we also do it as a convenience to others. How would we recognize a Friday-end if he or she didn't have an astral body with their familiar face? Let's take this one step further. During an out-of-body experience, are we naked or do we wear clothes? The answer is, sometimes we are naked, but most of the time we do wear astral clothes. The few people who report being naked during an out-of-body experience usually feel naked without their body. Others report that they were wearing white robes, unlike any clothes they own in physical life. These people usually believe that they are dead or they are temporarily spirits, and what else do spirits wear? There are also many people who find themselves in astral clothes identical to the clothes they were wearing at the time of the out-of-body experience. Often these people don't realize at first that they are out of their bodies. One moment they lie down for a nap, and the next moment they find themselves standing up and feeling light on their feet. And of course, they believe they are wearing the same clothes. More common, however, is the case where the subject doesn't remember whether he or she was wearing clothes. They just don't seem to notice. That is usually the case during my OBs. I don't even think about the clothes I am wearing. And since I'm not thinking about it, no clothes are created. And I don't even notice the clothes are missing. The point is, while we are out of the body, our beliefs do influence our experience. Our thoughts also influence our experience, but they are subject to our beliefs. Not only does this law work for astral objects like clothes, but our astral bodies as well. If we believe our astral bodies are malleable, they will be. Some people have reported their astral bodies were not in the shape of a human body, but in another shape. Take the following out-of-body experience for example, the 11th of August 1981 Sunday, out-of-body experience, number 55. One separated my head last, and then I felt just like a balloon. I was bouncing up and down but stuck to my body in a way I could not tell. I couldn't turn around. My consciousness was again very clear and concise. If I had an astral body, then it was curled up into a ball shape. and I was stuck to my body's right side, that is, by the right arm. After experiencing a few OBs and reading several books, I came to believe the astral body was not solid. As a result, I started having experiences like the following: the 23rd of February 1980, out-of-body experience, number 9. Another strange thing about this morning's projection is, I folded my arms around my chest to rest them, but they went right through my chest. They rested on the bed. This example shows the malleability of the astral body. I folded my arms through my chest instead of on top. Some people can travel just by thinking of a person or place, but it's not always that simple. It's not just the thought that makes us travel, but our beliefs too. In Journeys Out of the Body, Robert Monroe wasn't always able to travel to a desired person or place. When trying to contact a fried end, he often found himself in unexpected, unfamiliar surroundings. I've also run into these problems. I think the problems stemmed mainly from my beliefs. I couldn't rationalize how people could move from place to place during OBs, and my doubts and skepticism got in my way. I harbored a belief that it takes more than thoughts to travel. Limiting beliefs such as these can cause us a great deal of trouble. Here is an example. The 22nd of December 1985 Sunday, out of body experience, number 120, annoyed, I closed my eyes again, Saturday up again, turned and stood up again. This time I walked blindly through the door into the living room. I walked across the living room, almost to the door to the apartment. I thought, I'm far enough away from my body now, it should be safe to open my eyes. I opened my eyes, and again I was transported back to the same position just above the body. I figured this was happening because of some belief I harbored, so I decided to combat the belief. As I lay there, I thought strongly, I am the master of my reality, and I control what happens here. With that thought, I felt a strong sensation like a vibration that swept into me, giving me a sense of power. I thought, good, now, I will raise myself up with the power of my thoughts. I used my mind to pull up, and I started forcefully rising up 1/2 foot, 1 foot, 1 and 1/2 feet. Then I questioned whether it ought to work, since I hadn't had much luck in the past with this method. That doubt caused me to stop rising, and I started gently bobbing up and down, as if my conflicting beliefs were fighting each other, one pulling me up, the other pushing me down. Then I blacked out. The following experience illustrates further how we can use one set of beliefs to combat another set of beliefs. The 13th of April 1986 Sunday, out of body experience, number 125. This morning I was trying to sleep but kept thinking about trying to leave my body. As I was heading towards sleep, I found myself in a very good condition for OBs. I was laying on my left side. Very easily I started myself swaying back and forth in my body, as described before. I swayed back and forth and slipped outside my body. I thought, well, that was easy enough. I slipped a little bit backward and found myself stuck to the body. I tried to pry myself away, but was unsuccessful. I closed my eyes and said aloud, I am in complete control of this reality while I am out of my body. If I am stuck, it's because I believe I am stuck. And I no longer want to be stuck. I opened my eyes again and tried once more to pry myself away, also without success. I decided to try something different. My body was near the edge of the bed. I reasoned that if I were close to the edge of the bed and pushed myself off, I would fall off the bed, thus freeing myself from the body. I was using my own beliefs to free myself. I knew I had a belief that I would fall off the bed. This belief was stronger than my belief that I was stuck to my body. I rolled a little bit until I was laying on my back. My body was still on its left side. I wanted to fall gently, so I gently fell to the ground and I felt a sharp but not painful jab in my back caused by hitting something on the floor next to my bed. The point is, if you are planning to attempt OBs, it's very helpful, before you set out on your adventure, to examine your desires, beliefs, fears and expectations about the experience. Exercise 22, Buzzing. This exercise is similar to the musical imagination exercise. Relax completely, then try to get to that passive, quiescent frame of mind. As vividly as you can, imagine there is a coarse buzzing sound in your head.